Turbulent times call for clear-headed insight. That's hard to come by these days, especially on TV. That's where we come in. Salem News Channel has the greatest collection of conservative minds all in one place. People you know and trust, like Dennis Prager, Eric Metaxas, Charlie Kirk, and more. Unfiltered, unapologetic truth. Find what you're searching for at snc.tv and on Local Now Channel 525.
Of windows in the wintertime, and same with siding. It's a great time of year for install. It might take a couple days longer, you know, just due to the cold, but you get the same quality of job, the quality material that we're using. It doesn't matter if it's hot, if it's cold out, you're still going to get 100% perfect job, whether it's winter, fall, spring, summer. It doesn't matter what time of year. So our crews keep busy year-round servicing it.
And I love your deals right now for windows and for siding.
With windows right now, we're continuing on with a house of windows from $85 a month. It's literally less than a cup of coffee a day, and you've got a house of windows. With siding, we're currently running 35% off and free gutters with your siding.
And gutter guards, once people get them, they love them. Got a special?
And as far as gutter guards, now is the time. We're currently running 40% off at this time.
Call and get on the schedule. 877-70-EMPIRE.
Empire Window Company. You deserve a fair price.
America is kept safe because the Army National Guard responds, protects, and supports our nation when it needs them most. The Army National Guard responds to disasters such as wildfires and floods. They protect us with missile defense, cybersecurity, and civilian support teams for chemical, biological, and radiological hazards. Be there for your community and your country. Visit NationalGuard.com to learn more about part-time service. Sponsored by the Ohio Army National Guard. Aired by the Ohio Association of Broadcasters and this station.
Alyssa suffered through 11 years of her husband's addiction, and she feared the worst.
After we had called Focus on the Family, that was really the journey where we started to see God moving and working. I know that Focus on the Family was just an answered prayer.
I'm Jim Daly. This season, help us give families hope. And when you give today, your donation will be doubled. Donate at focusonthefamily.com/family.
Tune in to Understanding the Times, a live call-in talk show, now Wednesdays at 8 p.m. This week, it's our own Kyle Knight. He's been in radio 35 years and has worn every hat on both sides of the glass. Kyle's strategizing his own version of 20 questions. Unbeknownst to me, he challenges me to take up the mantle of the Bible.
The following program is sponsored by What's Right, What's Left Ministries and is responsible for its content.
Portions of the following program may be pre-recorded.
I am Pastor Ernie Sanders, the voice of the Christian resistance. Stay tuned. My radio broadcast, What's Right, What's Left, is coming up right now.
Independence, Ohio.
Changed our life for the better in many different ways.
Heard around the world every Monday through Friday.
Pastor Sanders is always years ahead of the rest of the media, telling you exactly what they're covering up.
This is What's Right, What's Left.
I tune in every chance I get to hear exactly what's going on with the voice of the Christian resistance.
Unabashedly cutting through the rhetoric by exposing the hard topics facing our society and world.
A lot of the other news media don't pick up the news items like he does.
And bringing to light the enemy of freedom who are out to steal your rights, your children, and enslaving you.
You really get the truth out. I can tune into your show and hear the unvarnished truth. Thank you.
This is What's Right, What's Left with Pastor Ernie Sanders.
Good evening and welcome to another edition of What's Right, What's Left on this fourth day of December 2023. And tonight our producer is none other than the man himself, Derek.
That's me, up in this house.
That's you, man. You be in the house. All right, Derek's on the board, so he's in complete control. Now, tonight we have our guest tonight is from the Slavic Gospel Association, Mr. Michael Johnson. Are you there, Michael?
I'm here.
It's good to have you here. We've got a lot to do tonight.
Thank you so much.
All righty. We have a lot tonight to do, so we always go right into our scripture. Before we get there, I wanted to say thank you. What a blessing last night for the Chester Christian Association, how they really put on a tremendous concert for Geauga County Right to Life. It was really great. And Pastor Steve and all the good people that showed up there last night, what a blessing. It was tremendous. And I want to thank you so much. And they raised a lot of money for the Geauga County Right to Life to keep fighting the good fight. Tell me about the Slovak Gospel Association, Michael.
Well, first of all, thank you so much for having me on your program. I really appreciate it, and I appreciate the opportunity to communicate with your audience. Our ministry, the Slovak Gospel Association, was established in 1934 by an immigrant from Belarus who came here because his father put him on a ship when he was very young because they were in the middle of a famine. So he sent him over to the United States so he could secure employment and send money back so that the family could survive. He ended up in Chicago and connected with the Moody Church and came to saving faith in Christ not too long after he arrived. Just a wonderful pastor, a wonderful evangelist, and just had all kinds of energy and zeal for the gospel. And so he ended up in 1934, when he began to see the persecution of the churches begin to increase in those countries, he established our ministry to keep the gospel open to the Russian people and the Soviet living under the Soviet Union. So we were heavily involved in the covert distribution of Bibles and Christian literature, and we also developed the main Russian language Christian radio programming that was broadcast into those countries through shortwave radio in partnership with groups like Transworld Radio and HCJB. And so people would listen to the radio programs in their attics or in their basement so that they wouldn't get caught by the KGB. And we had a variety of different programming, but the program that they appreciated the most was simply the slow reading of the gospel. So on the other end, they could write the scriptures down so that they could have a copy of God's word. And it was a wonderful and faithful ministry. And so when the Russians said that they were going to put the last Bible under glass and eradicate all forms of religion from Soviet society, we ramped up our radio programming to where we were broadcasting 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. And we produced and ran those radio programs not even knowing whether or not people were hearing them on the other end. But when the Lord brought the wall down, we heard that so many people, it was their lifeline to God, to the gospel, and this ministry played a vital role in keeping the gospel open to those countries. So when the wall came down.
Yeah. God's word doesn't return void, does it?
No, it really doesn't. It really doesn't. And so for me, you know, when I travel over there a lot, and I talk to some of the older pastors and people who had lost their fathers or had lost their pastors in the persecution when they were taken to the camps and killed for their faith. Those churches over there are really being built upon a foundation of great sacrifice in the blood of the martyrs. And for us, you know, we serve those churches in many ways in terms of providing, helping them with theological training and other resources so that they can reach their cities, towns, and villages with the gospel.
Well, you know, it's an interesting thing because things have kind of changed a little bit today. The gospel is under more attack here in America than it is in Russia. And it's really...
Yeah, it is. Yeah, you know, over the weekend, I spent time in Dallas with Dr. Peter Miskevich, who's the current president of the Russian Baptist Union. And that we were talking about this because, you know, they are under some pressure now, particularly by the Orthodox Church. But even in spite of that, there is more freedom in Russia in many ways to preach the gospel and disciple people than here in America. So, for example, we fund a significant ministry to those churches across Russia where they literally go into state-run orphanages and share the gospel with these kids and lead many of them to Christ. And they literally go in every single week and mentor these children, conduct Bible studies, and lead them to faith in Christ. We wouldn't be able to do that here, but they have the freedom to do it there. So that's just one example of some of the differences between the two cultures and societies.
Well, you have the Russian Orthodox Church, especially, obviously. We supported a number of Baptist churches. About 10 years ago, the UBF Unregistered Baptist Fellowship here, we brought in, we had a big conference, and we had 10 pastors from Russia. They were all younger guys, and they were here saying, look, what's happening here, this is 10 years ago, what's happening here is what we went away from. You've got to stop it. We're here to try to warn you, and of course we see that now. We're going to switch over.
I hear that a lot. Again, we specifically work with the Baptist churches in those countries, and we have access to roughly 6,000 of their churches, and then we minister among hundreds and hundreds of them.
I work with Dr. Dixon, and we just recently started over 200 new churches, new Baptist churches. I wanted to go to our scripture tonight, and this I'm changing my scripture up from what I normally do tonight because of the topic. And so we're going to start in a passage I know that you're familiar with, Isaiah 53. Mm-hmm. And let's go through that, and then we'll do a little commentary on it, because there's only one individual that ever existed that this passage describes perfectly, and I mean absolutely perfectly. So let's take a look at that, Isaiah 53, as we go through here. Who hath believed our report, and to whom is the arm of the Lord revealed? For he shall grow up before him as a tender plant, and as a root out of dry ground. He hath no form nor comeliness. That's an interesting thing. That root out of dry ground, that was kind of referred to as the dead stump of Jesse, wasn't it?
Mm-hmm.
He had no form nor comeliness, and when we shall see him, there is no beauty that we should desire him. In other words, that individual was a common, ordinary-looking man. He was not one of these, he didn't look like Elvis, I guess. He goes on and he says, he is despised and rejected of men, a man of sorrows, and acquainted with grief. And we hid, as it were, our faces from him. Now, you notice how many times he's a man, he or him is referred to here. He was despised, and we esteemed him not. Surely he hath borne our griefs and carried our sorrows, yet we did esteem him stricken, smitten of God, and afflicted. Now that's very interesting, because that word actually stricken in the Hebrew means plagued. Smitten of God and afflicted. But he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. And the chastisement of peace was upon him. And with his stripes we were healed. And we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned every one to his own way. And the Lord hath laid on him the iniquity of us all. He was oppressed, and he was afflicted, and he opened not his mouth. He is brought as a lamb to the slaughter, and as a sheep before the shearers is dumb. So he opened not his mouth. He was taken from the prison and from judgment, and who shall declare his generation? For he was cut off out of the land of the living. The transgression of my people was he stricken. He made his grave with the wicked and with the rich in his death. Because he had done no violence, neither was there deceit in his mouth. Yet it pleased the Lord to bruise him, that he and hath put on him to grief. When now shall make his soul an offering for sin, he shall see the seed, he shall prolong his days, and the pleasure of the Lord shall prosper in his hand. He shall see of the travail of his soul. He shall be satisfied by his knowledge. Shall many righteous servants justify many, for he shall bear their iniquities. Therefore will I divide him a portion with the great, and he shall divide the spoil with the strong, because he hath poured out his soul unto death, and he hath numbered with the transgressors, and he hath the sin of many had made intercession for the transgressors. Now, there's an interesting thing. I was in Israel a couple of years back and had quite a few conversations with Orthodox Jews who were professing that Jesus Christ, that they recognized Jesus Christ as the Messiah. Now, this is not something that's real common within especially Orthodox Jewry. But most of your Jews say that this is not referring to Jesus Christ, but it's referring to who? They will tell you it's referring to the nation of Israel, that this is the nation. Mm-hmm. Now, how could this be when it says he, him, the man, and the nation of Israel here is referred to as we, that our sins were put upon him. So they've still got that blindfold on, don't they?
Yeah, they really do. And to a large degree, Israel is an atheistic nation. So for us, just a quick background in terms of our involvement in Israel. I'm told that somewhere, maybe about a fourth or more of Israel are either Russian or of Russian descent. So it represents a fairly significant percentage of the population. So we, our ministry began ministering in Israel back in the 40s. And we had sent a couple of Russian Jews over as missionaries. And so they were doing theological training and church planting. And over the last few years, we have ramped that ministry up. So we're connected with a ministry called One for Israel, and they run a Bible school called Israel College of the Bible in Tanya. So in partnership with them, we established the first major theological training institute aimed toward Russian Jews living in Israel. And so... So we have a pretty broad network of individuals that have graduated from that school, and then we are equipping them as church planters and evangelists, specifically aimed at the Russian population in Israel, which is quite significant. So for us, we find that the Russians seem to be the most open to the gospel because they grew up in atheistic homes as opposed to Orthodox homes. So we're seeing a significant amount of fruit among the Russian Jews living in Israel when they actually hear the gospel. And obviously this particular passage is used quite frequently by those churches and by those pastors as they share Christ with Russian Jews living in Israel. So yeah, this is a significant passage, one that is obviously quite helpful in helping the people over there to trace their roots to the Old Testament, and it's one that obviously has a tremendous amount of relevance to them today.
I used to have an Orthodox Jew who worked for me, and he was quite a theologian, actually. He was an older fellow, and we would have our discussions and our debates, and of course he was very, very Orthodox. But he would say to me, when it comes to that, if I'm, he's still trying to make up his mind if Christ is the Messiah. He said, if I realize and I decide that I believe he is, I'm going to switch and I'll go to him and I'll receive him before I die. Well, we know that a lot of Jews are going to do that, but that's not really his call, is it? Because the idea is when you are presented with the gospel, God doesn't give you a million times to receive or reject, does he?
Right.
And so, and as I told him, I said, Bob, you know what? You might not have an opportunity. Something could fall out of the sky and hit you on the head, pal, and you don't have that chance. You've got to be ready. And so now you folks have been working there with what has taken place in the Ukraine you have a large number or of Nazis in the Ukrainian military, do you not?
Our activity in Ukraine, I realize that there's a lot of that being reported, and I think there's a certain reality to that. But the main focus of our work in Ukraine is our connection to the Ukrainian Baptist Union and their related churches. So that consists of probably about, before the war started, they had about 2,800 churches, but they lost about 400 of them, as the Russians came in and occupied certain territories, and then some of them were destroyed. So for us, we have been working in Ukraine for many years. We support theological training in Ukraine. We support church planting in Ukraine. And in the midst of the war, between us and the Ukrainian Baptist Union, at one point we were the largest distributor of humanitarian aid to internally displaced people throughout that country. And so we've seen a tremendous amount of fruit in that, particularly given the fact that when these people found themselves, they lost their homes, they didn't know what they were going to do, and the churches really reached out to them. We've seen many, many people come to faith in Christ, and the church right now in Ukraine is flourishing. So for us, since our focus is the church, we aren't as involved in the politics as perhaps some of the other people might be, because we're a gospel ministry, and we're the Slavic Gospel Association. And when you look at our logo, the G is prominent. So that's a little background in terms of our activity there.
All right. But I understand, I know that in the Ukraine right now, that because of that, you have a number of the Jewish people, Ukrainian Jews, which were Russian Jews, leaving right. Ukraine, and they're heading back to Israel.
And absolutely, yeah.
Are they going?
Go
ahead. Go ahead.
Yeah, that's true. And in terms of that, I mean, we as a ministry have facilitated many Ukrainians who wanted to leave Ukraine to leave Ukraine. So obviously the non-Jews ended up in Eastern Europe, but there's a significant amount of Ukrainian Jews who have left Ukraine and obviously have migrated to Israel. And so when I was in Israel when the war broke out between Russia and Ukraine, and I was able to kind of manage the start of our humanitarian distribution from Israel because we have people on the ground there. But even then, there was a significant growth in the number of Ukrainian Jews that were leaving Ukraine and coming to Israel. And so the Slavic churches in Israel would meet them when they came to the country and help them to get situated in the new country that they found themselves in. So they would help them find places to live. They would help them find jobs. They would help them to get oriented and kind of get situated once they moved there. And so a significant percentage of them ended up down in the southern part of Israel in and around Ashkelon. So there's a significant number of Ukrainian Jewish immigrants that are there.
That's close to
Gaza. So
That's close to Gaza.
Oh, yeah. It's really ground zero. About 80% of the missiles that came from Gaza ended up in and around Ashkelon. In fact, Brother Oleg, who is the main professor in our training program at the Israel College of the Bible, he lives in Ashkelon, and he lives on the 10th floor of an apartment building overlooking the Mediterranean. And about 2 months before the war broke out, he was in his living room. The sirens went off, and he and his wife stood up, walked around the corner, and a missile dropped into his living room, destroyed his apartment, and killed the woman living in the apartment below him. And so, obviously, he has suffered the effects of this firsthand.
Yeah.
The Lord protected him. And so he's the pastor of one of the large Slavic churches in Ashkelon, and he's kind of spearheading this humanitarian outreach that we're doing, because having been a part of getting these Ukrainian Jews situated in Israel, he knows where they all live and he knows where the community is. So they were able to, and what he found was these people were, they just found themselves there. They just they couldn't believe that they had left Ukraine in the middle of a war and now found themselves in the middle of another war, more intense in many cases than what they were experiencing in Ukraine. And they basically lost all hope. Some of them hadn't found jobs yet. They didn't have any food. They didn't have any money. They were just desperate, and they were afraid, and they didn't know what was going to happen to them. So the churches, the Russian churches, you know, went out and, you know, we helped them to purchase humanitarian aid, put food packets together, and, you know, they sent their families to a safe area, and then they would, you know, load up their cars and drive through Ashkelon, and there were terrorists up on the roofs, you know, shooting the people on the streets, and these are just really brave people, along with all the missiles and the drone attack. But they were able to get to these people, knock on the door, bless them, distribute food, humanitarian aid. And people, they would walk in and people would say, well, why are you here? Why would you risk your life for us? And they said, well, you know, we're Christians. And this is what God has called us to do. And so that opened up many, many, many opportunities to share the gospel with these people. And many came to faith in Christ as a result of that. And many of them have been drawn to the local churches there in the midst of this.
Right. We're seeing a lot of that, you know. It's here, you know, and even, well, we may have a revival here in America too. There's things happening out there, but hang tight. Mm-hmm. We're up against a hard break. We'll be back right after this with more. Don't go away.
Israel, rise from your slumber, and the truth shall set you free. From out of Zion comes your Redeemer in the year of Jubilee. Oh, hallelujah! Oh, hallelujah! Hallelujah! Praise Yahweh. From out of Zion comes your Redeemer in the year of Jubilee. Thou art my chosen, for I have called thee. Thou art graven on my hand, and I will gather. Sing hallelujah, sing hallelujah, hallelujah, praise Yahweh. From out of Zion comes your Redeemer in the year of Jubilee. Out from the furnace, out of affliction, I have chosen thee, behold, and for your iron I'll give you silver, and for your brass I'll give you gold. Awake, America, rise from your slumber, and the truth shall set you free. From out of Zion comes your Redeemer.
All righty, we're back. And, folks, I got a couple quick announcements to make here, and that is that tomorrow night, the Geauga County Tea Party, tomorrow night at 8200 Cedar Road there in Chestland, Professor Myron Shelby is going to be speaking, and he's going to be taking an overview on Islam, the Hamas, and what is happening over there in the Middle East right now, what is about to happen. So that's the Geauga County Tea Party at 6:30 at 8200 Cedar Road in Chesterland, Ohio, and Professor Myron Shibley. Myron Shibley. Now, I wanted to say, too, very quickly that we will be, Lord's willing, I will be speaking at the Liberty Valley Church with Pastor Jeff Turing, and that will be 1 week from today. And that would be, again, December 11th, Monday, December 11th, at 9851 Old 8 Road in Northfield, Ohio. And I will be there along, Lord's willing, with Bill Wilder. And he is going to be, we're going to be talking about, well, tactical civics, how to take America back to one nation under God, Lord's willing, this coming Monday, December 11th. And right now, tonight, we have with us Michael Johnson from the Slovak Gospel Association. And Michael, right now, we're seeing a tremendous amount of anti-Semitism, not just, of course, but the world right here in this country, right here, not far from in Ohio and a number of states, we're seeing this rise of anti-Semitism. And I told people when this whole thing started on October 7th in Israel that Joe Biden would eventually, we would sell America, they would sell Israel out. I knew this was coming. That's where it's going, because the Bible is pretty clear. You know, all nations are going to turn on Israel. Israel, like you said, they're right. They're pretty much an atheist nation. And this is the whole purpose of the tribulation period, of the purification of the wife of God, or the nation of Israel. Mm-hmm. And so a lot of people, there's people I know that I can't believe they have become so anti-Israel. And here's what it's doing. And in Christian, conservative Christian talk radio, Patriot Radio, it's causing quite a divide, where some of those people are actually taking the side of Hamas in this. I'm not going to say the Palestinians, because the Palestinian people pretty much, they're victims of this thing. When I was in Israel, some of the strongest Christians there, Michael, were Palestinian Christians. In fact, I was at a Baptist church there that had been bombed 14 times. Mm-hmm. And it was like a... So, what's your opinion on this anti-Semitism and all that's happening?
Well, first of all, I appreciate you saying that about the Palestinian people, because the school that that we're connected with, where we're doing this theological training for Russians, they have a significant training program for Palestinian Christians as well, and these people, these people are really quite faithful. So obviously, many people are caught up in the middle of this. But as far as the anti-Semitism that we're seeing here in the United States, I've really been shocked to see, you know, how quickly that this has surfaced in this country. And again, a lot of it is a function of this woke, political correct society that we live in. And if anybody doesn't go along with their dogma, then they're canceled. And we're seeing that really taking place across the board. And obviously, the perception, you know, from their side is that Biden is not supporting Hamas, and that he's going to pay for it in the polls. I'm really not quite sure if, when they don't vote for Biden, who are they going to vote for? So that's a question that I've had as I've thought about this. But certainly, they're God's chosen people, and and God blesses those that bless my people Israel, and God has not turned his back on his chosen people, even though in many cases they've turned their back on him. But it's just something that we need to continue to keep in prayer. And again, for us, you know, we love the people of Israel. We love the Russian Jews living in Israel. And so we're out there, you know, promoting the work that we're doing among them. And you can't imagine the attacks that we're getting on our Facebook page and our digital community people. Digital community.
Oh, yeah, I can too. Believe me.
I'm sure you're experiencing the same thing that we are. And, you know, my director of communication, I think his thumb is sort of raw after, because he keeps having to hit that delete button, you know?
Yeah.
But, you know, when you're out there doing the Lord's work, you're going to get attacked. And we're getting attacked, and I'm sure you experience the same thing.
How can folks out there help support Slavic Gospel Association?
Well, first of all, you can come to our website and sga.org. And for this particular initiative, we're raising funds to equip the Slavic churches in Israel to minister to people who have been affected by the war. And while things have died down a little bit, there are people that just are still desperate. They don't have jobs. They're having a hard time feeding their families. So basically, we're raising money. They'll purchase food locally, put it together in food packets, and it'll be enough to feed a family of 4, perhaps 2 weeks. But again, it gives them an opportunity to go into their homes and, you know, care for them, bless them, pray them, share the gospel with them, open up the scriptures with them, and perhaps invite them to church so that they get involved in the local Christian activities in their community. So the cost of groceries for a couple of weeks is roughly $120. And again, you're equipping churches and church workers and pastors to go in and distribute these resources to people so that they can be fed, but as well as see what the Christian community is all about. And so in this particular case, you can go to sga.org/IsraelGospel.
Israel Gospel. Okay. All right, very good. We'll have to give that out again. All right, and joining us now is none other than the John McTernan. And John McTernan, he was the co-founder of Cops for Christ International, and Joe has written several books. And he wrote a book, a good bestseller, if you will, on what America has done to Israel, which is a very good book. Are you there, John McTernan?
I'm here. Can you hear me, Pastor Ernie?
Loud and clear. Say hi, if you will, to Michael Johnson.
Hello, Michael.
Hello. Good to meet you by phone.
All right. Hi, okay. Yeah, Michael is the head of the Slavic Gospels. He's the director of the Slavic Gospel Association, and we're here talking about what's taking place in Israel, and We're talking about the anti-Semitism that's brewing. And what's happened, Michael, we have people calling. And, you know, I know myself, we have, you know, there seems to be two groups of people out there. One that think Israel can do nothing good, and the other think Israel can do nothing bad, okay? But we're going to get into reality, and because, you know, God gets the last word in this. And the reality is Israel right now is an atheist country. They're for the most part, they're a very sinful country, as bad or worse than the United States, and when it comes to abortion, prostitution, and they actually had the worst, the largest sodomite parade in Tel Aviv in history. At the same time, you know, this is why they're a stiff-necked people. At the same time, God says that they're his people and that he will judge Israel and nobody else. And he makes it very clear as not to touch his anointed, meaning the people men he sends out, that that is his. Vengeance belongs to him. And so he uses Gentile nations to go after Israel, and we're instructed to leave them alone. We're instructed. And does God know what he's talking about, do you think?
I think he knows what he's talking about, absolutely.
Go ahead.
Yeah, and that's our attitude. But again, you know, we're called as vessels of the church and vessels of the gospel to go in and share the gospel with these people so the Holy Spirit can work in their hearts. And because when you look at the different messages that many of these organizations are putting out there about their intentions in Israel, what I find is that a lot of people are saying we have to stand with Israel, and there's a lot of political statements being made about our relationship and our allegiance to Israel. But for me, as Christians, the most important thing is a clear presentation of the gospel to these people in their time of desperation. Many of these people don't know what's going to happen in the future. Many of these people have lost hope. And this is the perfect opportunity as all these events sort of converge to help these people to understand who their true Savior is. And right now, about 20% of the military are centered in Gaza, and they're obviously they're trying to address the situation down there. But roughly 80% of the military is up in the north in anticipation of what's going to happen in the event that Hezbollah invades the country from the West Bank. And if that happens, it's going to be a very, very difficult situation. There's many people that will be displaced. Many people will be affected by that. And again, we have a network of churches that are situated up there in the event that takes place. So we'll be able to equip them for ministry to do the same thing there that we're doing down in Ashkelon. So it's a sort of a very fluid situation. But I have the feeling this is going to go on for quite some time.
All right, so Matthew 25 says, what you have done unto the least of mine, you've done unto me. And is Israel in that picture? Yeah, Israel's there. Now, let me ask, here, when we take a look at this, as we're seeing people out there again, I mean this anti-Semitism, this hatred, I mean pure hatred, and now we're hearing more and more, and they're telling you that, in fact, just today information came out that Israel knew about what was, that Israel knew that they were planning on this, that Hamas was going to do this. Well, you know, the thing of it is like we just said, we're not saying that Israel is a saved country. Now, John Hagee says that we're not to witness to Israel, that we shouldn't witness to the Jews, that they're automatically saved. But I believe the gospel says witness to the Jew first, right?
Absolutely. Yeah,
what do you think about that, McTurnan?
Absolutely, Pastor Ernie. The gospel has not changed. It's everybody is under sin, and the Israelis have to hear about their Messiah just like everybody else. No difference.
Well, again, I think John needs to do some more research, huh? We're to witness to the Jews. The very first converts were Jews. And
right.
Now, the other thing, too, is I'm trying to put the emphasis on people, trying to make them understand that, because there seems to be this development, and I'm talking about professing Christian patriots and this split up, those of us in radio and Christian patriot radio programs. The majority of us we support Israel in this conflict, but there's a people that we've been working with in the ministry for years that are split, that are going the other direction. Now, what do you think about...
In what sense?
Well, they're saying that Israel is out of line. Israel has purposely started this war because of the amount of gas found under there, all the way from the Mediterranean, natural gas, all the way to Gaza there. There's large deposits of natural gas, and they're saying that Israel started this war to remove, you know, the Palestinians out of Hamas, out of Gaza, because what Hezbollah has said, no, they're going to get that territory. They're going to, you know, take those gas fields. What do you think about all that, McTernan? John.
Yeah, well, Pastor Ernie, I don't. Other than them saying it, I don't know of any proof that is Israel's intention, and I can't conceive of it being Israel's desire to start a war like this in Gaza to get the gas fields off there out there. I know that there has been Hezbollah has had threats about the gas fields off of northern Israel and Lebanon, and they said that they would go to war with Israel over the gas fields then. But for Gaza, no. I mean, they've been doing this. It's Hamas who's starting the fight since 2006, when they were elected to power in Gaza. They have been at war with Israel.
Well, there's another problem, too, because, I mean, we're supposed to be supporting Israel, are we not? I mean, this is what's been said. I know there's a major dispute going on in our country, especially the college kids have been indoctrinated. They've been indoctrinated into cultural Marxism and brought in under this insanity. But here, if we're supporting Israel, and we're giving $7 billion more dollars to Iran, which is what Biden's trying to do, you don't suppose some of that money going to Iran goes directly to Hezbollah, do you?
Either directly or indirectly.
Yeah, and it ends up supporting Hamas.
Right. Mm-hmm.
So, I mean...
Yeah, that whole situation is completely bizarre.
Yeah,
I never really understood it.
Did you ever think our country would be in this condition? I mean, that we would actually come to this?
Yeah, nothing makes sense. Everything is upside down.
Well, inside up, Ernie, yeah. Remember going back to Obama, where what was it? He worked it out where Iran got $60 billion, and then. Literally like a plane load of cash, pallets full of cash. I think there was $2-4 billion in cash with Iran, who is a terrorist nation. He had no problem getting that money to him, $60 billion in all the cash.
So that money went to him, went to them, and then there's a thing called money laundering. All of a sudden, Obama is buying a $14 million mansion. Do you make that much money as a senator? He wasn't making that much money as a senator, and the presidency doesn't pay that much money. Do you suppose a whole lot of that got? Do you think Joe Biden taught him how to get that money back? You know, that it all comes back to him.
He claimed he made it off of all his book royalties, but I seriously
don't
know.
Yeah, but.
That's a very good way to launder money.
Yeah.
They write a book and they get like $3-5 million up front, and then the book sells about 3,000 copies and the companies take a loss. But in the meantime, so they got the money to, you know, whoever. Yeah. So Obama wrote a book and they gave him huge royalties, and that's a way to wash money.
Yeah, absolutely, yeah. Yeah, it's pretty obvious, yeah.
So
now, Pastor Ernie,
Yeah.
On your show, have you ever made the listeners aware to the Hamas covenant and what's in it, what it says?
No.
Okay. I'm preaching this now to make everybody aware of it. So it won't take long. I'm just going to highlight some of the points in the covenant. Do you mind if I read it?
Right. You have 5 minutes to break. Can you do it in 5 minutes?
Yeah, I think I can.
Sure. Go ahead.
Okay. It's the covenant of the Islamic resistance movement. That's what its official title is. Hamas is like a shortening of that. It was dated August 18th, 1988. The preamble, in the name of the most merciful Allah. Then it says, Israel will exist and will continue to exist until Islam will obliterate it, just as it obliterated others before it. Article 7, the Islamic resistance movement aspires to the realization of Allah's promise to no matter how long it should take, the Prophet has said, the day of judgment will not come until Muslims fight the Jews, killing the Jews, when the Jew will hide behind stones and trees. The stones and trees will say, Muslims, O Abdullah, there is a Jew behind me. Come and kill him. That comes from the quote from the Hadith. And then the next one is Article 13. There is no solution for the Palestinian problem except through jihad. Initiatives, proposals, and international conferences are all a waste of time and vain endeavors. The Palestinian people know better than to consent to having their future rights and fate toyed with. So in the covenant, they're talking about obliterating Israel, not like the treaty with Israel or, you know, working things out or anything. Their goal is the obliteration of Israel, and then they're going to do it through jihad. That's the way to do it, and that the Allah will arrange it so that the trees and stones will tell them where the Jews are, so they can go there and kill them. So that's their covenant. There's more to the covenant, but these are the highlights about dealing with the Jews in Israel.
Yeah, so, I know, but go ahead. Go ahead, Michael.
No, I didn't say anything. I'm listening very intently here.
Right. Well, what we have now, too, we see throughout Scripture where it talks about forming a confederacy to eliminate Israel so that Israel will be no more, okay? And that's exactly what we have today. We have a confederacy of cultural Marxists, or communists. I mean, right here in this country, we have a lot of hardcore communists. Most of what is called the Democratic Party are communists. There's, you know, to the bone. But this is not just Islam. They have a saying that the enemy of my enemy is my friend, and they're working together. And not only do they want to eliminate the Jews, they want to eliminate the Christians too.
Pastor Ernie, maybe I should include, I think it's Article 21, which says that they want to obliterate the polytheists. That's us. They don't believe in the Trinity. They say it's three gods, which is, you know, paganism. And then they want to atheists. They want to
When I grow up, I want to work for a woke company, like super woke.
When I grow up,
I want to be hired based on what I look like
rather than my skills.
I want to be judged
by my political beliefs.
I want to get promoted
based on my chromosomes.
When I grow up,
I want to be offended
by my coworkers
and walk around the office
on eggshells
and have my words policed
by HR.
Words like
grandfather,
peanut gallery,
long time no see,
no can do.
When I grow up,
I want to be obsessed with emotional safety
and do workplace sensitivity training
all day long.
When I grow up, I want to climb the corporate ladder
just by following the crowd.
I want to be a conformist.
I want to weaponize my pronouns. What are pronouns?
It's time to grow up and get back to work. Introducing the number one woke-free job board in America, RedBalloon.work.